What is good, guys, and welcome back to yet another episode of the Reselling 101 podcast. I am one of your hosts here with my brother Dom right here. Go ahead and introduce yourself, my man.
What's good, guys? Y'all should know the drill now. It's episode 9, but it's Dom in the house again.
So. Yes, sir. Episode number 9, man. We are super excited once again to present this episode to you guys, and we have a lot to talk about. Man, let's start. How have you been, bro?
Today was an interesting day. Well, just I'll make it quick. We went to an event. It was advertised as 30 vendors. It was not 30 vendors. So we got a couple of pairs there, and then, you know, I unboxed, recorded YouTube all day. I don't know. It was a good day. It was a weird day.
Right. I want to start off this whole thing with sourcing products and traveling to different sneaker events, either in your city or outside of your city. Let's talk about that. So let's give a few tips to anyone listening right now. And you know, let's kind of like talk about that a little bit. So with going to all these sneaker events, right, sourcing sneakers can either be hard for some or easy, right? What is some good quality advice that you can give someone that is going to a sneaker event, either in their city or outside of their city? Like, what are any good tips that you have run into going in?
I got a few off the top of my head. So first of all, stay disciplined, right? Everyone there is trying to sell you their shoes, right? Everyone wants to make a sale. So know what you sell well, know where you want to check markets at. And if you're not sure about a deal, maybe be a little bit more conservative if you're less comfortable buying in person. So just be aware that if you don't usually buy in person, it's going to be a little bit different, and be prepared. The other thing is, I like to think about the supply and the demand of the actual people at these events, right? So like Kobe Swap Meet, which me and you have both been to in San Diego, has a ton of vendors. And early in the morning, there's not usually that many buyers yet. So it's a huge buyer's market because, like I said, tons of vendors, tons of shoes, not that many buyers in the morning. But if you go to something like SneakerCon, where it's a global event with a limited amount of vendors, but people from all over the country and the world coming to buy shoes there, it's probably going to be more of a seller's market. It's going to be hard to source. So I like to look at these events, look at how many vendors there are, think about how many people I think are going to show up, and try to estimate how good an event is going to be for me sourcing, and then make the decision on whether or not I want to go to it.
Right, 1,000%. And like, just to add to that, right, if you guys are listening to this, watch out for buying sneakers just to buy sneakers, right? You know, a lot of people go to these events and like they feel the need to, like, if you have $5,000, for example, people feel the need like, okay, I have to spend this $5,000 regardless if the deal is good or not. You know, I've been with resellers that go to these events and they're like, all right, I got $10,000 to spend, right? And they go to the first table, they find nothing. They go to the second table, nothing. They go to the, you know, the next few tables and like, all right, I got to start buying some shoes.
Right.
Right. I look like a rookie. Right. So now they start buying all these different shoes for like horrible prices. And then they come back home and they're like, damn, I regret buying these, you know? And it's just, you know, you gotta be smart with your money. Right. You got to understand there is competition at all these events, regardless of where you are. There's always going to be competition. But at the same time, too, you want to be able to take a few steps back, be smart with your money and use the money that you have wisely. Right. You don't have to spend the whole amount that you have. Right. And I kind of had to learn that on my first few events, because I think the very first event I went to was Kobe Swap Meet. Right.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And outside of my city, right, was Kobe Swap Meet. And you know, when I went to Kobe Swap Meet, thank God there was a lot of great steals, man. There was a lot of great deals at the Kobe Swap Meet, and I was able to pick up a good amount of pairs, right? Now, going into like these other events, I was like, all right, damn, I gotta start buying some shoes, man. Like, you know, all my other friends were buying like 10 or have already like 10 plus pairs, whatever. I gotta pick up the pace, you know. And my recent event, I think, was Dallas SneakerCon. So I over there, like as everyone knows, everyone was taxing. So I was like, all right, I gotta take a few steps back again, and I gotta really make my money's worth. I gotta make sure that these sneakers cover all my expenses for the trip. It covers the flight, it covers the Airbnb, covers the gas, covers everything that we have put, that we've invested into this trip. I got to make sure that these sneakers will cover all those expenses first. And then that's what I'm going to start with, making money, right?
Right.
So again, right, just be smart with your money. All right. There's nothing else I really have to say except just be smart with your money.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I want to just bounce off two things on that. The first is $1,000 in the bank is much better than $1,000 spent on bad inventory. Because you can buy $1,000 worth of shoes where you need to clean them up, list them for sale, put in the work to sell them, and then not really make much or any money or even take a loss. So it's much, much better to not have inventory than to have bad inventory, right?
Right. That's 1,000%.
And then what you said, it's a great point about like you don't want to look like a rookie. Because I feel that sometimes, you know, you go to these events and it's like, you know, you feel like you should be at a certain place and then you leave with like three shoes. But it's like, you just got to try to zone out what you think other people think of you at all times for everything,
yeah.
To be completely honest.
So. If the deals are ass, bro, like it's not even, you know, there's been a lot of events where like everyone just absolutely taxing and, you know, you don't have to get if everyone's taxing, bro, you don't have to buy anything. Like literally, I'm at the mindset right now. It's like, if everyone is really like taxing for all these shoes, it's like, I'm not, you know, I'm good. You know,
yeah,
I'll make my content and leave.
Fact. I have a good point on that, actually. It's a psychological bias, bro. I can't remember what it's called, but it's like when you show up somewhere and you're like, damn, like I already drove 100 miles or I already took a flight to be at this event. Yep. Like I have to buy something, but
yep.
It's a sunk cost. That's what it is. This is so like textbook economics, bro. But it's like you already made that 100-mile drive. You don't need to make it worse by buying bad inventory because you feel like you need to achieve something. It's like, always yep. Do what's best in the moment. Don't be looking backwards. So, you know,
1,000%.
Don't go to these events, you know, when you do go to these events with like $1,000 and say, I have to spend it, or $5,000, I have to spend it, or even $200, right. I have to spend it. It's not the right.
Because then now, let's just say you do make the investment, right? Now you bring all those sneakers home. You have to ship all those sneakers out too. And then what happens? All those shoes are just literally sitting on the floor, you know what I mean, or whatever it is, and you're like, damn. And you look back at it, you have like bad nightmares. You're like, dang, why did I buy these?
That's the worst. When you're looking at your inventory and you're like, oh, how am I selling this shit?
I feel that, bro. I feel that, man. So yeah, so let's talk about the next topic, which was the Gary V topic that you were talking about earlier. Explain what that was about.
Yeah, this was super cool, bro. So I saw this on, where did I see it? I saw this on, why am I blanking? Oh, his Instagram story. It was NFL players were reposting inner sports, right? Okay, so I'm going to give a little context for anyone who didn't see it. So Gary V is obviously a serial entrepreneur, and one of his endeavors right now is Vayner Sports. So he's representing NFL athletes as their agents, right? So usually going into the season around this time of year, these NFL players get care packages from their agents. And Gary V and his group, obviously it's not just him, but they sent out care packages. And in that, they sent out Ethereum, which is a form of cryptocurrency, like just money, basically. But, you know, I know that's something that Gary believes in. I know that that's something, but here's the key for me, right? It's something that's cool right now, right? It gets the players talking because all these players are posting on their story and their feed and this and that about how Vayner Sports, you know, gave them Ethereum and how cool it is. And it's like, and here's the point I'm getting to. It's a super like cool, hip way to get free marketing, right? I mean, I guess it wasn't free because he paid for the Ethereum, but like, I think it was just super cool. It's a really creative way to market and provide value to his customers. You know what I mean?
Right. 1,000%. Kind of like giving his clients like an incentive. Right. Yeah, I feel that. I love that, bro. I love that. So how can we kind of like take that as like resellers and put that into what we're doing?
Right. Like, well, that's the question I was getting to that I didn't quite get to, but exactly. What can we do to market more creatively? What can we do to, like, let's say we have a side project. What can we do that's creative like that, that can get the ball rolling and get the word of mouth spreading? So like, do you have any ideas on that? What are some of the most creative things you've done to market yourself, your brands, or your side projects, or anything like that?
For me personally, bro, right? Again, like we talked about on our other podcast, it's just like treating your customers like family. It's not even like you don't even really need to give them something physical. Like, for example, like what Gary Vee was doing, like cryptocurrency. Like, you can literally just be treating them like family, treat them like they're your very own. And it's about making your customers feel special, right? Actually, something that I've been doing was giving everyone that purchases an item from me a fidget spinner. So I think, you know, as long as you make your customers feel special in a way, that will really mean a lot to them.
Yeah.
Does it make sense? What about you personally?
I don't know. I kind of asked that question trying to hack at my own thing, right? Because I'm just thinking about like different side projects I want to do. Like, for example, I want to throw my own event at some point, right? And there's a bunch of barriers to that. Like, there's a lot of things I need to figure out about scheduling a venue and this and that. But at the end of the day, one of the things I want to figure out is how can I creatively market it? Because I feel like my marketing lately, you know, because I don't know, I just feel like I don't think of ways to market myself that well these days. So I'm trying to think of like how to be creative with weaving into your content all the different things that you're working on in a way that keeps people's interest. You know what I mean? Because, like, I want to throw a dope event, bro, because there's not enough down here in San Diego and there's enough sneakerheads out here to make it happen. So, like, that's one thing that comes to mind. It's like,
man, you should definitely do that. But again, that will always, it'll come into play soon, bro. You know what I mean? I feel like for us personally, like, we just have to do different things.
Yeah.
Right. And it's kind of like making content, right? We really never know what sticks until we do it. I feel like if we just keep doing different things in order for us to like market ourselves and our business, then we're gonna find it sooner or later.
I agree. I feel really good about the way I've been scaling my content back up lately too.
Yeah. Man. And I know we talk about content like every single episode, but man, content is super, super important, right? And I want to talk about the last time. I don't know if I ever talked about it on this podcast, but on my podcast, I was talking about like how I felt like my YouTube wasn't going anywhere, right? And I was worrying so much about the numbers. I was like, dang, like what is going on with my YouTube? Like, I know for you, YouTube at the time was like going crazy, right? You were getting so many subscribers every day. You know, your data and everything that you, your analytics were like going insane, until you finally like monetizing and like just dropped, right?
Yeah.
I felt the same way, but now it's kind of picked up these past few months, and I'm monetized just like you are, and right. You know, it's pretty crazy. Like, this is the reason why I feel like YouTube right now is one of the best opportunities, one of the best platforms to get into right now, especially if you want to play the long game, right? If you're in this, if you have a business and you want to do this for the rest of your life and it's something that you're passionate about, YouTube, right? YouTube is the way to go. And, you know, Instagram, TikTok, all these other platforms are great as well. I'm not saying that, but we're going to focus on YouTube, right? Because
we love YouTube. When I was struggling, when I was
like, damn, like this is not going to work out. Like, the reason why I kind of took a break from YouTube was because, you know, I felt discouraged. I was like, no one is really fucking with my content. You know, so I'm just going to stick to whatever I know, the short form content, and I'm just going to roll with that. But then, you know, obviously, we got to bring in George again.
Yeah.
he motivated me again to start the YouTube back up. So I did. And now I've been posting on a consistent basis. I have two YouTube channels now, D Sangley and D Sangley Shorts. You did the same recently.
Yeah.
And both channels have been doing amazing, right? My D Sangley channel, one video is about to reach 1 million. It's like, at the time I was like really discouraged and demotivated about YouTube. That video was probably at like less than 100 views. Now that video has picked up traction. So again, views really don't matter to us. We just really want to understand why our videos or why any of our content is performing in that matter, right? But at the same time too, like, it's crazy because YouTube will push out all your content from a year ago, 3 years ago, 4 years ago. And, it's one of the best platforms to be on right now. And, I definitely believe that you guys should post on YouTube way more if you guys are.
I remember when your videos were, you know, not doing very well. Honestly, I'm not even gonna, like, I looked at your channel and
say it, bro.
Holy shit. Like,
say it.
How is it doing so
bad?
Say
it.
Because I know what kind of stuff you put out. But if you remember, I kept telling you too, bro, like, just trust the process. Like, if
trust
you know
the process,
you're putting out good
man.
Stuff, just keep putting it out there. And it's worked out. And, you know, like, that's what it really comes down to for me is, like, these platforms, bro, and people too, like, you're going to catch people's interest and they'll get bored and you're going to catch fire and then you're going to go cold. It's like, everything's up and down, right? So it's like, what you really got to do is figure out, you know, if you want to be in the content game, which both of us do, you got to figure out what type of content is fun for you to make and that you're going to be happy to make it even when the results aren't there, because that's what keeps you going. Because if you're just seeking the results, bro, one day is going to be great and one day is going to be fucking tough. Like, it's all over the place.
Right. And no, I feel that 1,000%. And like, this is something that we kind of have to like realize. If you guys are watching this right now, over time, your YouTube videos will gain traction.
Yeah.
Regardless, like, if you know that you're putting out good stuff, if you know that you're sticking to like a good niche and you know your audience, right, your videos are going to do well over time. Because people don't just go on YouTube. They don't go on YouTube every day like they do on TikTok. They don't go on YouTube every day like they do on Instagram, right? So what I've realized with posting content, people will go to Instagram, people will go to TikTok, and it's so easy to just to swipe. All right, cool. That's a dope video. All right, that's a cool photo, right? And it's so easy for them to like. It's so easy for them to engage, right? Whereas YouTube, longer form, now implementing shorter form content, people are like, all right, now I want to go watch some YouTube videos for longer form content. Let's go ahead and check out YouTube. Right. That's why it's, you know, the attention rate is so short on TikTok and Instagram, whereas YouTube, you have to like literally sit there and watch the whole video to the end. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And again, the results are faster on TikTok and Instagram because of that. So you just have to realize if you post a YouTube video now, it may get 0 views, it may get 10 views, whatever it is, but over time it'll gain traction.
For sure. You know what's funny too is I've come to the conclusion, this is just my opinion, that right now, bro, thumbnails don't matter at all on YouTube. It's all about the title. All about the title.
I feel that too, bro. I've been messing with both. I'm trying to get the thumbnail game going a little bit. I want to have like a consistent page. But at the same time, I feel that though. I feel that 1,000%, the title. So what have you kind of been thinking about that? Like, I know a lot of people with longer titles, like super long sentences, like they literally utilize every single word, every single space that they can with the title. They just use it all. Or some people use like just one quick title, straight to the point. What have you learned personally?
It's just all about grabbing people's attention, right? So it's like the thing that I've been trying to do, and I'm trying to find these moments in a video that are really interesting and then talk about that moment in the title. You know what I mean? Yeah. And the guy that, the guy who you sent me earlier today, I can't remember his name, but you sent me his YouTube channel.
Yeah.
There's two videos that popped off. One of them was about the one video that did really well. So just context for people listening. This YouTube channel that Dylan sent me, this guy's gained like 5,000 subs in the last few days. And he has this one video that got 500K out of nowhere. And he has a very similar setup to what me and Dylan are now doing with the GoPro setup on his body. And he goes out and negotiates, right? This one video, the title was all caps, and it was about this seller. It was like, seller drops the price after he hears that I'm a reseller. Like something like that. Something that's like, it's a little bit weird and it grabs people's attention. And I know one of my better performing, I did the day in the life videos for a while. One of my better performing ones, or some of my better performing ones, are when I talk about like, oh, I got like this fake shoe in the mail, day in the life of a reseller. Those always do well. So it's like, you want to hack the title to where, I think there's a fine line between clickbait and grabbing someone's attention, right? But I think there's, you want to include something about the most interesting moments of your video in the title to bring people in. And then you want to deliver on it, right? You don't want to put something in the title and then not deliver because it gets people mad. But
you want to
capture everything that's interesting about your video and put it in the title. So that's how I think of it. And hopefully, like, some videos have that moment to put in the title and some don't. That's the challenge, but that's my thought right now.
I feel that, bro. And I feel like if you grab someone's, like, you have to make people feel some type of way. It's like if they read a title, if they see a thumbnail, whatever it is, they have to be like, oh, damn, like, that's something that I've been through. Like, I want to see how he dealt with it. You know what I mean? Or, you know, no, I feel like you gotta have them feel some type of emotion that kind of triggers them to be like, oh, damn, I want to watch to the end. Or you have to have them feel some type of emotion where, like, oh, shit, like, my friend went through this. I got to go send this video to them, you know?
True.
And, like, I don't know, bro. I feel the same way with all my content, right? Like, you know, if I were to just say some shit about, like, oh, these are the cheapest shoes I have, or, like, if I find myself promoting my business Instagram just straight off the bat, just promoting it, like, yo, follow my business Instagram, or this is what I have in a size 9 or whatever, something like that, people won't really, like, care as much. But whereas, like, oh, shit, like, I almost got scammed, or did I get scammed for $5,000, or one of the best videos on my YouTube currently right now is, like, will he trade his obsidians for my Crocs? So I'd be like, something like that, you know what I mean? Where it kind of grabs people's attention and it makes them feel some type of way, which makes them also engage with your content. So I don't know. People always say, like, I don't think there's, like, a secret formula, just post, post, post. I believe personally there is a secret formula to viral content. So you know what I mean? Like, you have to have people feel emotion. You have to have them feel entertained. I don't know. There's like five different, there's like a few different emotions that people can feel. And, you have to hit those points.
Interesting. Yeah. I feel like it's probably somewhere in the middle. Like, not every piece of content you put out can go viral, but, like, it's somewhere between making the right stuff and, making enough volume, for sure, giving yourself the chances.
Right. I'm gonna look that up real quick. I'm curious because I've seen it on a YouTube video. That's why I kind of want to talk about it a little bit more. But let me see. There's a few, bro. Yeah, it's like, is it funny? Is it? Let me see. Is it heartwarming? Hero or villain, 100% sure it's good, happy ending, easy to share, right? There's a, you know, all that stuff. You just have to play with your content. And I mean, everything, you know, it's not promised that it'll go viral, but at the same time too, you just got to play with your content, man.
Yeah, definitely. You definitely got to just keep experimenting, for sure.
Right.
That's something too that can happen, bro. You can get stuck in your ways and, like, just keep making the same shit and be like, damn, like, how do I switch this up? Because it's not always easy.
That is true. I feel like on TikTok, it's kind of weird, right? There's a lot of people that make the same, like, I don't know, bro. I don't know how people grow super, like, there's a lot of people that grow super fast on TikTok, and then it's like, how can you kind of do the same with your niche? You know what I mean? I don't know, like, I know that you kind of slowed down on your TikTok a little bit, but personally, for you, what do you think you can do better on your TikTok to kind of push it a little bit? Like, what do you think that what do you think you can do?
Yeah, so the interesting thing about TikTok is I feel like it's just so different from Instagram. Even if Reels and TikTok is like a similar thing, it feels really different. And it feels like definitely TikTok. So, okay, let me give some context. What I've been doing lately is I've been making longer videos and I've been cutting clips from them and putting them on all my channels, right? I feel like for some reason on TikTok, it's just they want you to make video that's specifically for TikTok and it rewards you like that in the algorithm. And I'm not sure if that's true or not. That's just like my intuition or like my feeling. What do you think about that?
I'm be honest with you, bro. Right? It's kind of the same thing as a YouTube, right? If you were to post content that you personally believe is like good enough, it will gain traction over time. Well, I'm gonna be honest with you, like there's some videos that I thought would do like horrible and they picked up over time because I left them on there, right? And I'm pretty sure it's gonna be the same thing for you. Something that I have been implementing a lot in all my social media platforms is going live. Because if people are there with you and able to ask you questions about your videos or able to ask you questions about like any type of advice that they have from you, they're able to do it right there on the platform. And I feel like it's special to have, I feel like it's good to have like a special engagement with your followers and people that, actually support your content. And a great example again on TikTok, you're able to go live with other people on the platform that you don't even know. Like it's crazy. Like you don't even have to be friends with them, and you could still go live. I'm gonna give you
Wait,
a great example. Go ahead.
I gotta tell you real quick. I did this on Instagram so long ago. I literally was used to go live with random people and like say what's up. And the last time I did it, I literally went live with someone and they just put their ass on the screen.
Oh my God.
I haven't
Oh
gone live with a random person since then.
Well, TikTok, I'm gonna be honest with you, right? TikTok is it has a different like platform where like they do filter out all those like all the bad people that violate the community guidelines. It's really good with that, I'm gonna be honest with you, right? Even me, right? When I do Q&As with sneakers or just I give advice and tips, they ban me for no reason, nothing at all. I don't cuss, I don't do anything bad on my live. I literally just do Q&As, nothing else, bro. And this is when I used to go live by myself. I didn't put no music in the background, so I didn't violate any copyright guidelines, nothing. I got banned. And it just kind of sucks, bro. It's like, what? Why would I get banned for this? Like I was literally doing nothing. So I'm like 90% sure you won't have that happen to you on TikTok, bro. Oh my gosh, that I'm dead, bro. That gotta be clipped. We gotta clip that on
Facts.
the
That's a good call.
Oh man. Should we turn the comments back on, bro?
Sure.
All right, we're gonna turn on the comments, man. We're gonna turn
Let's
the comments back on.
take a couple questions if there are any and start wrapping this thing up.
All right, we're gonna take a few questions, man. If you guys have any questions, please, 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 please drop us some questions down below. But man, no, it's crazy because on the live streams, they will push your live stream out on the For You page.
I've
So
seen.
that's why it's a great opportunity for you to like catch different audience. I think I might go live for a few minutes after this on my TikTok with a few people just to kind of, just to see what's up. But What's up, Legit Laces? How you guys doing, man? If you guys have any questions down below, matter of fact, there's actually a question bubble right here. Let's go.
All right, I'm ready.
Let's see.
I don't like relying on questions too much because sometimes you don't get good questions or you don't get any, but sometimes they're really good. That's the thing.
Okay, here we go. Here's one. So I'm a new reseller and people keep asking me to do GUA on shipments.
Right.
And let's see. Let me see the full question. And I only want to accept payments before shipment, but they're saying I don't have references. What do I do? See, so that's a great question. So basically, people don't want to do, like, people don't want to gift them the payment. They want to do GUA. GUA is gift upon arrival. So basically, the seller will ship out the item before the buyer pays. Once the buyer gets the item, and they legit check everything, then they pay for the item. So yeah, man, that's why it's super important to build your platform, right? Yep. Build your platform, get out there, show your face, show people that it's actually you. And, you know, regardless if that's building just your business, personal brand is important. I feel like one of the most important things you could do is personal branding, right? Dom and I have, I don't know, bro. I feel like you and I have done like a really, really good job with our personal brands. And, you know, that's why a lot of people are able to just gift a payment like that without any hesitation or any worries, because they know that they're buying from a legitimate person, like a legitimate source. So what are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, if people aren't willing to give you money before you ship the shoes, right? You really need to find a way to build trust. Like, that's really on you as the seller. A couple ways to do it is, like Dylan said, you can make content. You can put yourself out there. Like, I talked about this on one of my lives with Ryan the other day, with Renzi, about how, like, people were willing to gift me money before I had any references because I had a brand, right? Because people knew who I was. But
right.
So, like, one way to do it is to start building your brand, put yourself out there, stuff like that. But another way to do it, maybe sell on apps some, you know? Sell on eBay, build up some reviews, and then at least you have something in your back pocket to be like, yeah, you know, I've never made a sale on Instagram, but I have 300 positive reviews on eBay. Like, you could trust me as a seller, or even like be like, I'll sell it to you through eBay. Like, just use that as an example. Yeah, but don't have the expectation to where people are going to trust you if you haven't earned their trust yet. Like, that's the key, is like, figure out how you can start to build trust and earn it from people.
Right. Because, I mean, like, I don't know, man. This is kind of where it gets tough, right? For like the newer resellers.
Yeah, it is tough.
Like, if you're not willing to put in the work and get out there in front of all these people, it's going to be tough for you to get sales, especially through Instagram. You know, most of my deals have been through Instagram, and it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough, bro. So, I mean, again, like what Dom said, build a trust. You know, someone just dropped in the comment section, don't forget local deals. I love that one. You just want to build trust from people like around you at first, and then kind of expand a little bit more, and just kind of work your way up, man. Again, you really got to put in the work. You can't expect too much. You know what I mean? And that's a lot of
Instagram.
Yeah, a lot of these people are a lot of these people would literally like beg people, like, okay, gift me payment, whatever. Like, you can't just expect people to gift you payment if they don't know who you are. You know what I mean? Like, if I've never done business with you, if I've never even seen what you look like, I'm not gonna trust that, because, you know, this guy brought up refs. At this point, I'm gonna be honest with you. Right. There are a lot of people that just buy their refs, that buy their comments. And like, that's horrible. Like, people buy their followers, people buy their likes, people buy their comments, people buy the whole refs, the whole refs page. Like, you cannot trust that. So,
yeah,
I think we've talked about this before.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we've talked about this before, DMing people in the refs page and actually asking them if they've done business with a specific person, you know, and, I've gotten scammed once on Instagram, and I had, you know, it was because I wanted something fast. It's because I really needed it. I needed it now, and that's where I got scammed. That's where I got essentially like screwed over.
Yeah, I think that's a really good tip. Don't focus too much on just reference pages. Like I'll take a dude who's got his face out there, like JQ, bro. Just for example, I gifted him payment the first time we ever did a deal because I was like, this dude's everywhere. Like this dude posts 5 times a day with his face on the internet. Like he's not about to not ship me shoes. Like he's clearly in the game. This is so long ago, but that just comes to mind. Like, you know, and someone can have 200 references and they can like you said, just DM random people and pay them to leave a reference or a comment on their post that says that they're legit. So be careful. Yeah, I don't even get how people build their Instagrams without making content.
Yeah.
Like it's crazy. I mean, it's just a slow grind though. I think that's what it is. It's a slow grind. You got to really make connections. You got to, I don't know, maybe local's a big part of that.
Yeah. People, I don't know. I feel like a lot of these newer resellers in the game, they expect results fast. You know, they expect everything so fast. And, you know, I mean, if this is something that you actually want to do and it's not just for the money, like you're going to take time to actually build your brand. You're actually going to take time to actually build trust with these people and actually have legitimate conversations with these people. You know, this is kind of off. This is like on topic and kind of off topic, but I believe something that everyone should do, everyone listening to this and everyone watching this right now, something that you should do is respond to each and every one of your comments. Build a community, right? You have to engage with the people that are supporting you. That whether it's on YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, wherever it is, I try to respond to each and every comment I can. Each and every comment. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? How do you expect for people to buy from you or people to, like, trust you if you can't even respond to their comment? You know what I mean? And you know, you and I have gone to a point where we get a lot of DMs, all this stuff, and it's just, you know, I always try to respond to as much DMs and comments as I possibly can, right? People don't understand that you and I have like a lot of comments and a lot of DMs on other platforms as well. Plus, we make content, we ship sneakers, we source sneakers, we do a lot of things with this business. So, definitely, you got to engage with them more. Like, even if it's not them trying to buy sneakers, you know, respond to them in the comment section. I feel like that's super, super important on your post, too. I see a lot of these resellers, they have, like, 50 comments, like, it's just blank. They have, like, no replies. And it's just like, you're not, how are you going to build an audience that way? Yep. You know, how are you going to build like a legitimate audience that way?
I feel that.
You know what I mean? So like, what are your thoughts on that?
I think that's a good idea. I try to respond to comments whenever I can, for sure. I don't know. I don't have too much to say to that. If there's people that want to show you love, you want to engage with them for sure.
Yeah. I feel that, bro. I feel that. Let's see. What about this question?
Yeah, let's wrap up on this one.
Okay. How do you respond to shout out for shout out when you don't really know the other person or page when you're trying to expand your brand? I personally wouldn't mess with it. I don't know. Like I've never done a shout out for shout out personally. Just because like I don't know, if you don't know the other person, then it's really not worth it. Because let's just say you shout out another brand that are scammers, right? You know what I mean? Like what do you do, right? Like you're supporting that person. But at the same time too, right, it's not, I feel like you got to grow organically, right? Grow organically, get the trust from different people, post content, do whatever you got to do to get there. But shout out for shout out, it's not really organic. People are really not going to mess with you for you. They're just going to shout. They're just going to follow you, or they might not even follow you, right? Just because someone gave you a shout out or whatever, right? They actually got to legitimately know who you are. So yeah, do that.
Couldn't agree more. It's both things you said. I'll just basically echo. If you don't know who you're shouting out, you shouldn't do it. And I guess the way I'd handle it is either not answer, which is, you know, it feels kind of bad, but you know, if you get a lot of people asking you, it's like, all right. But also just tell it how it is. Like, hey, you know, I don't really know you like that. I don't really do shout outs. So I'm not gonna be able to do that right now. You know,
right.
And sometimes like if I have a person that we've done a deal and they ask me for a shout out or something, like, sometimes I'll just explain it. I'll be like, I can't fully get behind you. Like I can't put up a post because then I'm just completely tying my brand to you. And like,
yeah,
keep
going. I'll keep it in my mind. Keep going.
That was pretty much all I had to say. Like, you know, like just, it's hard. It's really hard to say no sometimes, like, especially if you've been talking to someone and they seem like a cool dude or, you know, gal or whatever. And it's like, you want to just show some love and help them out. But it's like, you know, we have so much on the line at this point, bro. We each individually have so much trust in this community that our word for somebody else actually means something now, which is crazy to me. Like, even leaving a reference, I'm really cautious about what I say because I know it can have impacts for tons of people. So it's like,
right.
Yeah, I can't really do shout outs where I say, go mess with this person. Like, it's just,
I feel that 1000%. And like, I've gone through a few DMs where I know of the person, I've seen the person's content, I know who the person is. Like, I'm not gonna name any names, but a few people actually hit me up saying like, yo, do you think you could shout me out? Business is kind of slow right now. You know, can you shout out my story sale on your story? Like, what would you do in that moment? Like, you know, you personally like know the person, like you kind of know who they are, but like you don't really like, you know what I mean? Like you know of them, but you don't actually know who they're, what, like what they're about and like what kind of business they do or they stand by. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I don't know. Like, what would you do? Like, I'm curious. Like, for example, you know me, right? You know me, but let's just say you see someone on TikTok and you've seen them. Let's say you see them all the time on your For You page, but you've never like actually talked to them. Like, and they asked you for a shout out. What would you do?
I mean, I'll tell you what, I definitely wouldn't give the shout out.
bro, I feel that. Like, I put them in the general because I was like, I know you, but I don't, like, know you. You know what I mean? It's just like,
yeah.
I don't want to act like a dick and, like, and say so no. Hard.
Yeah.
But at the same time, too, like, I just, and you know, another thing, too, it was funny because I was going to do a story sale that same day. So I was like, I don't know.
Yeah. yeah.
Oh, man. I don't know, bro. What would you do? Like, you would just kind of, like, ignore them? Or it's just kind of awkward.
Yeah, it's so awkward. I'm not going to lie to you. There's a good chance I would just not answer. I might just say something like, you know, I don't really want to do that right now, to be honest with you, bro. Like, sorry, you know, something along those lines. Yeah, it's tough. It's tough. Especially like, I had someone ask me recently and it's like, especially too, like when your stories aren't even doing that great either. And like, cause I don't even, dude, here's the thing, bro. I don't even like promoting my own shit on my story, let alone somebody else's shit. I'm always like, man, have I really provided enough value to people to go and promo my shit right now? Like, I feel like I need to give more before I ask. And then like to use my real estate that I'm just working to build up and I'm working to like, you know, provide more value to people and then occasionally ask and say, hey, by the way, I am selling shoes if you want to buy. But then to use that space for somebody else is tough. So that's beyond
it is tough. It's tough, bro. And it's a really awkward situation. Like the shout outs, we've talked about shout outs on the Chance podcast and on the Chance episode. And you really got to make sure you know who you're standing behind. And I don't know. I'm going to be honest with you. I was never one to really ask for a shout out. I never really asked for a shout out from anyone. And that just goes with like me actually wanting to put in the work to get to where I am today. Like, I had to actually, like, legitimately put in the work each and every day, post the content, whether it was on Instagram or YouTube, whatever it was on. Like, I had to, you had to put in the work. And a lot of people are not willing to put in the work. They're really, they believe, in the back of their mind, they believe a shout out will change their whole, like, business.
True.
I don't know, man. I just, you can't rely on those shout outs, man. You really can't. You can't.
Organic growth is way better, bro. It really
1,000%.
Is.
1,000%.
And that's what we're trying to do here too. Like, we're bringing, we're putting our money where our mouth is. Like, it's, we haven't asked anyone for a shout out on this. It's just me and you occasionally posting on our story that we're going live or we're doing this or that. But for the most part, we're trying to bang out content, and everyone who wants to mess with us can come and mess with us.
Yeah, man. And I mean, like, we're almost at what, 300? We're almost at 300 supporters on this page, man. So,
dope.
I mean, again, if you really enjoy just in the ins and outs of a business, and like really, like, if you're really trying to get good advice and good tips, I'm not saying we're like we're the best out there, but I'm saying that we're gonna give you some good quality advice that we believe, once you're done listening to the episode or even just watching it on Instagram, we believe that you're gonna come out this podcast or this episode, whatever it is, with a lot of good knowledge that you guys can do or implicate right now, right? Yeah. You know, we talk about content all the time. We talk about trust. We talk about treating your customers like family, building long-term relationships instead of the short-term relationships. Like, those are things that you could do now, right? And we really wish that you guys do actually, like, take action with the tips we're giving you guys, because we will do our best to respond to each and every one of your comments. Again, if you guys have any questions, DM us, comment on the post, comment on all our posts, whatever it is, on TikTok. We have a TikTok page, we have an Instagram page, and of course our YouTube, or not our YouTube, our podcasts on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. But yeah, man, we appreciate you guys. Dom, you have anything else to add?
Yeah, in the comments, someone asked what GoPro we use. I recommend the GoPro Hero 8. Just wanted to answer that real quick. The other thing I wanted to add is, like you said, we do our best to provide as much value as possible. If you want us to talk about something specific, tune into our live streams on @reselling101pod and drop a question in the live stream, or DM us @reselling101pod. If you got a good question for us, I will be happy to dedicate an entire
1,000%
answering it. So
right, 1,000%.
Matter of fact,
that's a great idea. We are going to, on this IGTV, when I post it, I want you guys in the comment section, of those 8 people watching right now, drop as many questions down below in the comment sections. We'll answer that on the next episode. Okay. All right, Dom and I will answer that on the next episode. And yeah, guys, have a great night. Great session today. And yeah, we'll see you guys on the next episode, which will be episode number 10.
Yes, sir. Right?
So yeah, guys, make sure you guys go follow us on the Reselling 101 pod on Instagram, on TikTok, you name it. Make sure you guys leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and listen to us on Spotify. Till next time, peace. Love y'all, man. Peace.